Hi everyone. This is Carol and welcome to our March newsletter podcast. And I am here today with Christina Lamore Sansone. And I love this topic. We're revisiting this topic that she and I collaborated on several years ago. And this topic is called Using Classroom Walls to Engage Our Students. Now, Christina is a different kind of guest for me to have because Christina is a graphic designer. She works with teachers, and we met quite by accident several years ago. I was teaching an online course, and she was as well. And when I went to check my online course biography, her photo and biography was in my slot. And I was like, wait a second, what's going on? Who is this? So I clicked on it and I read her her qualifications and the course that she was teaching, and immediately I wanted to sign up and take her course. I contacted her. I also contacted the course organizers, and they did put my bio in my teaching slot. But we ended up having this fabulous conversation, became colleagues and friends, and I hired her to work with me on a project called Teach South Coast, where I was preparing and supporting career changers to become teachers. And Christina, are you there? Do you remember the story? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Carol. No,
What do you
I love
remember?
that story. I love that story.
I know. So we met by quite by accident, but I think we all say there are no accidents.
No.
So the topic today that we're going to get into in a minute, but I want to give everybody a context for our work together. So we were working with a group of teachers. I hired Christina because I was very interested in the ways in which she talked about design in the classroom. And she'd been working with teachers, and she made me think out of the box. She made me look at my handouts and my fonts and the way I was presenting materials to the teachers that I was preparing, and also to students. And Christina, you also made me think about how all of this work helped would help me in a course I was teaching and the standards for effective teaching. So all of the teachers in my course were number one priority, classroom management with their students was high on their list. And I remember bringing you in so that we could help them engage their learners more effectively to minimize stress on their part and minimize disruptions in the classroom. So that's how we got started. Do you remember that? What do you remember about that collaboration?
I mean, the collaboration with you has been so rich, Carol. I can't tell you. I feel that you really helped me to, with real teachers in real action in with Teach South Coast, particularly. We were working with teachers in Fall River and New Bedford, in their actual classrooms, helped me to work directly with teachers in a very practical way to look at their classroom environments, almost as a like a way of mirroring my practice in a very practical sense. And so we were, you know, what a lot of this is about is looking at your home, like your environment, really looking at it directly in terms of its learning potential. As a looking at space and the designed environment.
Yes. And I remember you talking to me. It just opened my eyes in our conversation through this chance meeting where I read about what you were doing in this course and instantly wanted all teachers to have access to this kind of intentional viewing of their own classroom space. Because we work in these classrooms, we have clutter, we have paper, we have all kinds of stuff. And even now, kids are sitting feet apart. And I mean, the environment has been disrupted in many ways, but there are still walls in the classroom. And when I reached out to you to be a guest, it reminded me of how we don't think about our four walls, yes, and all of the space mm-hmm. as a visible way to engage our learners. Mm-hmm. And I know that you and I hooked our teachers in through the standards because they all had to show that they were doing something for the standards. And all of you that are listening know we're looking for evidence all the time. So we took a deep dive into the standard two, teaching all students. And under standard two, it was student engagement, it was meeting diverse needs of students, and then there was more into creating a collaborative learning environment, and then it was a student motivation. But all of those things, what happened was it all minimized classroom disruption mm-hmm. and classroom management for them. They were all beginning teachers. So it had this outcome, I remember, that we didn't really expect would happen, but it did happen. So I'm so grateful to you for opening my eyes and the eyes of the students. And I just think it's time to revisit the topic. So thank you for being willing to be with us.
And what year was that, just for the listeners?
Oh my gosh, that was probably 2010.
2010. Okay.
Yeah. So, 10 years ago. And it's time to revisit. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. To look at our classroom walls. So the standards are important. And so what is design instinct, graphic design? Everybody's going, what is she talking about? tell us a little bit about why you're dedicated to this work with teachers.
Yeah. Well, design instinct has been a theory that I've had really since design school, since college. It was my undergraduate thesis. And what I've come to learn what this means, it's always evolving. And I think even since 2010, since we worked together, it's evolved. In respect to what I understand design instinct to mean is it's about embracing our own tendencies, our own, the ways in which we, as individual human beings, navigate the world, that we all have certain tendencies of things that we like colors and objects that we like to keep, you know, the color of our walls, the things we put on our walls, all of this. And I've come to realize that I think how it benefits teachers is what I want to say here and now, is that we want to embrace those tendencies as teachers. It's been a mistake of schools to try to standardize what the classroom is ideally supposed to look like, you know. So we remember the typical, you know, administrators walking in looking for standards, you know, having it be kind of a, you know, a dogmatic approach perhaps to ways that things need to look. I think from what my research, particularly working with students, because in 2016, I did my sabbatical at Coventry High School here in Rhode Island, and I did a survey with high school students and asked them. And basically what I came to learn through that data was students like spaces where they feel comfortable, where they feel they can have courage, where they see themselves, and also see the teacher as well. So what I learned is that, you know, a teacher's tendencies to kind of maybe bring flowers into the classroom or paint the classroom a color, as opposed to the institutional, you know, white or tan color, you know, that schools mm-hmm. use. That students actually like to see the courage of teachers to take ownership over that space, and see from the teacher their particular tendencies and their design instincts. And so that, you know, that's really reassuring, I think. I think also the belief that the classroom that's really tidy and everything's clean and organized is what's preferable from students. What I've seen more recently in my practice is that I was in a classroom in Central Falls, Rhode Island, where a teacher had you know, animals and like cool objects around. And like, it was just a curiosity cabinet and the students really responded well to that, you know? So I think what I've learned is that we have to embrace our tendencies, and that's what design
right.
is.
Right. About. So what I'm hearing you say is, and what I've learned from you, is to trust ourselves and what we like as teachers, but to be intentional to look around the classroom and not just be unconscious about it. So,
no.
So that's the visual hierarchy that you've kind of shared with me. Can you just tell our listeners what visual hierarchy means and how it relates to them?
Yeah, so visual hierarchy is really, it's a tool that you learn in the design school where you become spatially aware of what comes first, second, and third in respect to the perceptual environment. And that's really difficult to understand, I think, until you practice it and you actually walk through and really think about it. But what is it when you, if you did a virtual walk through your classroom, what do your students see first, second, and third? And by that, I mean, like when a student walks in the space, are they seeing themselves? Is their student work visible? Is there an old map that's been in the school, you know, one of those pull down maps that's been there for 20 years, you know, is that the first thing they see? Do they see your standards on the wall? Like, do they see a light, you know, do they feel the sort of bright lights, the fluorescent lights? So it's being conscious of those design aspects in the classroom and understanding when a student enters your space, what they see, what they feel first, second, and third.
I love that. So I know you've worked with a lot of teachers, and you shared with me and with the students when we were working with our Teach South Coast program some before and after pictures. Do you have any memories of collaborating with a teacher and then she just saw her classroom a certain way and then she changed something? Do you have any like transformational stories of transformation, like what the results are, like what happens when students see that teacher transform that way?
So I have many case studies over the years that have looked at this. So my typical process would be working with a teacher is going into a classroom, taking lots of pictures, observing, spending at least 3 observations, looking at the classroom, doing that walkthrough myself to say, what do I see first, second, and third, sitting in the seat of the, you know, in the classroom, you know, and this is the physical classroom, but could also relate to virtual, and really kind of getting a sense, and then essentially giving the teacher a critique of that. So when we work together, the teachers, went into their various classrooms, took photographs kind of with those prompts of like, you know, sit in the seat of your student, you know, walk through, what do you experience? What do you witness? And really almost look at it like with a beginner's mind, you know, that sort of that Zen phrase, you know.
Right. Yoga phrase. Yes.
Yeah. So I think some of the transformations that I've seen with teachers, and again, I just want to say that I've grown, I think even in the past decade, to understand what this means for me to be, you know, a critical friend, which is what they've called me in schools, of like, you know, walking with them through their spaces. I think that teachers, their fuse boxes turns on because they build a design, what I call a design consciousness. So say they have like that dusty old map in the room that's been there forever. They can ask themselves, am I required to keep this map in this space? Or can I take it down? Can I ask my principal, can I take it down? And can I put up something that's more engaging? Or, you know, if there's a particular kind of lighting in the classroom, you know, that's really kind of like jarring, you know, can I change the lighting conditions in the space to make it more comfortable? Or, you know, I worked with a teacher who did this on her own, but like, you know, had these really comfortable seating for the students to do readings during, you know, a civics class. So I think it's about what I see, where I've seen the biggest transformations from teachers is when they recognize that they have the choice, they have the permissions to make those changes to their classroom. Once they get in touch with their own design instincts, their own tendencies, and then they course correct based on that. But I think also it's you need to work with the culture of the school too, you know.
Of course.
It's not void of, like, you know, working against the system, you know.
Right.
We still need to ask our headmasters and our principals, and we still need to, you know, be compliant, but I think it's having more trust, within oneself.
And creative. And there are four walls. I remember when you and I collaborated and we had like 23 teachers in these two districts.
Totally.
And the assignment was to create, to do this. We did this with these teachers. They sat in the student seat and they looked around, and then they started to see what the students were seeing. Yes. And then I did it in my own classroom in teacher education. I was teaching in a building that there was nothing on the walls. It was a classroom. Now I know there's so much online with teacher education, but when we do go back into the physical space, and you made me conscious of, are my teachers work when they come into this cement room,
right.
Can they see themselves in the classroom? And I remember spending so much more time in the visual space using my own design instincts,
right,
to put the teachers' work up when they came in, or to have music playing when they walked in. But I just used what I was drawn to, and you helped me a lot to reinvent teacher education spaces after they had been teaching all day long, to come and even hear what you and I are talking about now.
And I do think that COVID, you know, it's been absolutely tragic, you know, what's happened in this country with the pandemic. But I think for teachers, it's opened up spaces where students get to see teachers in their home environments.
Yes,
you know?
That's interesting.
And that
interesting.
Can have its benefits because you can see the pet who's like the cat
climbing
through.
True.
You know, and I think it's connecting us in ways that are so profound, you know.
Yes.
In a home environment, like pictures of, you know, teachers' kids in the background, or, you know, like just
that personal,
personal. So I do think, you know, I have seen some silver linings in respect to the home classrooms of our teachers, but also see opportunities perhaps to reflect going back into physical spaces, like how, you know, we can grant ourselves permissions to maybe bring things into the classroom. I know sometimes I've worked with lots of teachers who say, well, I don't have my own classroom. I have to, you know, I'm only here for this period. You know, you can bring in an object into the classroom. You can bring a provocation, an object, or things that can be visible in the classroom. So I think there are ways in which, you know, design, you can create, I mean, we call it in design, like framing. You can frame kind of what you see as the need, and you can design to that frame.
I love that. One of the other things that I want our listeners to be aware of that you and I talked about earlier is content matching, because we're talking about using our walls, because I'm trying to be focused. And tell us a little bit about what content matching visibility means for teachers.
So I think that what it means is that whatever content you're teaching, whether it's history or, you know, world languages or whatever content you teach, you know, that comes with a certain level of your own values. I know we try to be multipartial when we teach, but I do think that students can pick up your values when you're teaching in terms of, like, what you're introducing. And what I mean by content matching is that whatever's visible to the students as you're talking about a particular content, that the values match. So, for example, like, I'm talking, I'll just describe my son had a favorite teacher who was a former politician in Rhode Island. And he would talk about, it was during the campaigns, you know, so as a teacher's talking about the campaigns, he actually designed his classroom like a campaign office. So it had like all these historical primary documents from, like, you know, former campaign design.
Cool.
So he and his friends loved it because they're learning about the elections. You know, at the same time they're going, and this was one that they were physical. They were, you know, this was a few years ago, but they would go to the classroom and, you know, he was dressed up in a pinstripe suit, you know.
Historic. Yes. That's so cool.
He had like a TV from the 90s that he hooked in Google Classroom into the old TV, you know, and he demonstrated what he was preaching, you know, like it was echoed through the design of the classroom.
Right.
And I think that serves as a really beautiful model because it's like, you know, what do they say? Like, if someone tells you who they are, believe them. You know what I mean? It's like he was telling them
who he was. He was sharing it, but he was demonstrating it through
visually echoing who he was through the classroom design. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I am so grateful to you. One of the other things I just want to mention to the listeners is in this newsletter, there's a link to a PowerPoint that I encourage you to watch and listen to, because you will see concrete examples from the teachers that we're talking about, Lindsay and Patrick and others, who allowed me to come into their classroom and take photos. And I actually was able to put in an audio clip from the teachers. And what I think is, what I want to say to everyone is, these were all high school teachers. And we weren't sure if high school teachers were going to go for what they were calling decorating their classrooms. And Patrick, it'll be very interesting when you all listen to what Patrick has to say and what he created on his classroom walls, because he says that. He was like, I really wasn't thinking this was going to make any difference. But he was trying to create a collaborative community of learners in his reward system, and these were math and science teachers. I was blown away when I went to visit how they took your strategies and sat in the seats of their students and really took the standards from the Department of Education about engaging learners, and what they all got out of it was their students were more engaged and less disruptive and more motivated to contribute. And this was a chemistry class, a math class, a high school biology that I've used as examples. And I was so impressed, and I still am today. I feel like this is one of the best projects, collaborations that I've ever done in my career.
Yeah, I think the fear with high school students is they think that this is for elementary level, right?
That yes, the teachers too. And
the teachers think it's like, it's too, you know.
Our kids won't do this. They don't want to earn a sticker or something. And what they all found is they did.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No.
That it works at all levels. So thank you so much. I hope all of you that are listening will open up the resource document that Christina has put together. You will get a little bit more about visual hierarchy and many of her resources and articles about design instinct and graphic design, which I love. It's teaching me a lot. And there is also a video of Christina and I. You can see us live talking about fonts and texts and how to create documents that will also visually engage your learners. So as we wind down, Christina, any advice for teachers who have heard this and it's all new for them? What advice, last word for our audience?
I just think trust your visual instincts, trust your design spaces. I mean, and don't, you know, we're all a work in progress. So it's always evolving, always changing. I think, you know, one thing about graph design is it's about visible evidence. Like you keep trying and you see how the students react, and it's never going to be the same one day to the next too. But, but I think if you trust yourself and you listen and really pay attention to how students are engaged. And also I think learn from your peers, like ask the students which classrooms do you like to be in? Don't be afraid to learn from your community of practice in your school.
And to give them that voice.
Absolutely.
And having the students be visible somehow when we walk into the classroom as your first, second, and third thing. Mm-hmm. I hope that when you all watch the PowerPoint, you will see concrete examples of what you can do to bring your students alive in the classroom beyond their own voices, but to visibly see evidence of them in the room. Christina, I love talking to you. You're the best. This has been a good practice for me to remind myself to take a look at my space. I'm looking around at my home office right now, seeing what I see first, second, and third, and what I'd like to change. Thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners. Have a fabulous spring is on its way. Bye, Christina.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks.